You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, good evening, young lady. I thought it'd be a wonderful opportunity to share some evening coffee with you and talk about the news and events of the day. It looks like we are all waiting with bated breath for the jury to reach a verdict or verdicts in the officer Derek Chauvin / George Floyd in custody death case.
Yes, and as we are all waiting, Maxine Waters decides to go out to Minnesota and, you know, just jack everybody up and make comments that she should never make about people staying in the street and becoming more confrontational. And that is an issue. We have a jury here who is not sequestered. So the jury can see that on the news. They can talk to people. You know, they can get the information. It's not as though they're, you know, hiding in a hole.
Well, you know, yes, everything that you're saying is true. Juries have to be really serious when they're not sequestered, okay? So that usually in a jury type of situation, they will take them and put them in a hotel someplace, right? But because of the COVID issues and everything like that, they're not sequestering these juries. But the judge has rigorously informed them, ordered them, in fact, not to watch any media at all. No television, don't read anything, don't talk to people, don't talk about this case, don't review anything about this case anywhere. And we're hoping that they do that.
And we're hoping that they do that.
Yeah.
But well, don't forget that when maybe their spouse, maybe someone in their family, you know, may call them and say, oh my gosh, did you see what's happening? You know, I mean, these things happen and we can't be blind to that. Everybody's not perfect.
One of the things that I'm really concerned about in regards to this case, well, there's so many things that I'm concerned about as a, you know, as a subject matter expert in these issues of in custody deaths, and especially with a medical background, but being in court all the time in investigating these things, is that the implicit and confirmation bias more often than not rears its ugly head and affects the juries. One of the things that I find is terrible, and by the way, no matter how you feel about what Derek Chauvin did as a police officer, whether you believe that he followed proper police practices or not, I don't happen to be one of those people. I will tell you my opinion based on everything that I've seen in this case. And, you know, Linda, I've reviewed this case time and time again. I've looked at the autopsy, looked at the toxicology, I've watched that body cam, the different, you know, the cellular and body cam, videos time and time again. And I've opined on this, like on One America News and America Out Loud and a couple of other news organizations. I do not believe that Derek Chauvin in its totality killed George Floyd. I do not believe that was the case. However, I do believe that what he did in some form contributed to his ultimate demise. Okay, I do believe that. I know there's a lot of police officers out there that might be disagreeing with me, but anytime that you do anything, but you have to balance that, okay? So anytime that you do anything with a person that we know pathologically had a serious onboard psychomedical emergency and a toxic, meaning you can die from it, level of fentanyl in his system. Whatever you do with that person, you're going to jack them up, right? And when you jack them up, you're putting additional undue stressors on the cardiovascular system and the cardiorespiratory system. And so, you know, people die as a result of that. It is not going to be up to me. It's going to be up to the jury to decide what issues of contribution on both sides, George Floyd, everything that he did, the drugs that he took, his resistance at the scene, and taking a look at what Derek Chauvin did and the other officers. What contributed to death? How much contributed to death? Or did anything the police officers do, in fact, contribute to death? That's a pretty tall order for a jury to try to figure out. These are very complicated medical issues and somewhat complicated police practices and use of force issues.
Well, you know, it's one of those perfect storms, Ron, where police officers are, they're out doing something else and they are called. They don't go find these things on their own. They are called to an emergency. In this case, they were called by the store owner when George Floyd tried to pass a counterfeit bill. And they tried to take him into custody and he resisted. He is a big guy and also under the influence of drugs. And the officers have no way of knowing what he's taken or how much he's taken, no way of knowing. So they are thrown into a situation very quickly that escalates. And what happens is, as that situation escalates, the person who has ingested the drugs and who doesn't want to go back to jail starts becoming agitated. Now, you can take one of two sides here. You can say that's because of the officers. Well, the officers were called there to control the situation. They can't just walk away at this point. And they're trying to get this person to calm down and get in the car, and he does not want to. He asks to be put on the ground, And that is, you know, maybe a way for him to calm down, get his breathing under control. The whole story about Derek Chauvin, and I'm not defending what he did. I disagree with what he did. I'll say that right out front. But the whole story of him having his knee on George Floyd's neck seems to have been debunked in court, and they say it was on his shoulder. So I don't know. I was not in the courtroom, and you've seen the videos more than I have. So I don't know the answer to that. Either way, there's nothing in his cause of death that says that his blood was cut off. Nothing. So Derek Chauvin did not, as you say, he did not cause his death. Just not from Linda Martinelli or Ron Martinelli, from the coroner. Okay, from the official. Now, as I agree that it could have contributed, but like you say, what? I'm not saying the officers were supposed to do that, but they're supposed to do something when they get called to a scene. And it's like a no-win for these officers, just a no-win, because no matter what you do, if something happens to somebody, you're going to be the one responsible. And I just can't agree with that.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, I look at this thing, obviously, from different wheelhouses. Number one, a police wheelhouse. Number two, a medical wheelhouse, dealing with, you know, what I see and the pathology and, you know, comparing and contrasting what the medical examiner and the forensic pathologist who actually did the autopsy, okay, the toxicologist who actually ran the toxicology scans, as opposed to the prosecution's expert who did none of those, never got to examine George Floyd's body, never did a biopsy, right? Never did any of these things, but simply read reports. And so doctors like that are partially, you know, attempting to diagnose, because doctors are board certified, you know, and, you know, full disclosure, Dr. Ron is not, you know, board certified physician, okay? I'm a medical investigator. I took my boards, but I'm not an MD. I'm a PhD. But here's the thing. There's a big difference when you take a look at a pathology and you're trying to determine cause and manner of death, because the prosecution's expert has to speculate. And I did watch his testimony. I watched the testimony of the medical professionals, and I thought the pathologist did a much better job of succinctly pointing to cause of death. Officers not involved, except for contributing to agitation. All right, by the uses of force. The other guy was far more, speculative than he was objective and diagnostic. And as a matter of fact, I won't mention his name, but you know, I work with a wonderful, world-renowned respiratory physician. This is what he does. And I think if we would have had that physician in, he would have woke up everybody. Okay, because this guy is phenomenal dealing about these issues. I want to go back into the body camera because I did watch it a lot and I teach prone restraint. And here's what I saw. And by the way, I also teach the carotid restraint, or some people call it the lateral vascular neck restraint. It's a blood choke is what it is. Okay, we are teaching officers how to restrict oxygenated blood to the brain through the carotid arteries, which causes unconsciousness. Okay. It doesn't cause death unless you're there forever. Yeah. Okay. But let's just talk about that. And I'm glad you mentioned the part when you looked at the videos, you did not see Derek Chauvin, Officer Chauvin's knee on George Floyd's neck the entire time. You're exactly right. It wasn't on his neck the entire time. And by the way, the neck is bilateral with regards to carotid arteries and jugular veins. You know, they're meaning there's one on each side of the trachea, the esophageal airway, and that's what you compress if you want to restrict, you know, oxygenated blood to the brain. And what happened to the other side of his body? Okay, the other side of his body is on the ground. It's not being compressed. Only one side is being compressed. And then you can tell that he's never pulling full weight on. Even when he's on the neck, he's not putting full weight on the neck the entire time. But, and then he's on his shoulder, just like you said.
But the question is, on the neck or on his carotid? I don't believe he was on his carotid at all.
No, he wasn't on his carotid at all. And by the way, when pushed, even the medical professionals had to admit that that's not what happened. Now, however, does that cause stress to an individual that is involved, that is experiencing what we call an agitated chaotic event and, you know, a toxic level of an unlawful drug, especially fentanyl, depressant, an opioid in the system? Well, of course it does. Everything does. And including what George Floyd himself is doing. Okay. So when I look at this, and again, just my opinion, and everybody's got an opinion, is that Officer Derek Chauvin did not murder George Floyd. And to me, that's what this case is all about. Okay, the primary thing, what are the charging documents? What is he being charged with? And you already saw that the judge got rid of the third degree murder. Okay, I don't believe he was ever charged with first degree murder. So we're looking at murder two. Okay, that's what we're looking at.
Or manslaughter,
right. Or involuntary manslaughter, or reckless, you know, homicide, you know, we're dealing with stuff like that. Now, when circling back, the term these days, when Maxine Waters throws out her violent rhetoric, she speaks untruthfully to the people that were there listening to her and her audience. She said it was murder one. He was never charged with murder one.
No, nor are there elements of murder one there. So here's my huge issue. Ron, you have our politicians and our media who have ginned this up since the day that it happened. Since the very moment that it was happening, they have ginned up all kinds of stories about where Derek Chauvin's knee was, about poor Mr. Floyd, who's led this exemplary life, which is untrue. Okay, let's just say it like it is.
The guy was a violent felon. Okay,
he was a violent felon.
He robbed people. He was not a nice guy. Now that doesn't mean that he deserves to experience what he experienced. But they've got murals up with this guy where he's wearing wings of an angel.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what I mean. Factually, this guy was far from that. He was a person with a violent background, and he was committing a felony, nonviolent felony, but nonetheless a felony when encountered by police. And I will use, like in a civil case, right, in a lawsuit, I will use the plaintiff argument in the defense, but not for. Right.
Exactly. But not for that. He was there that day committing a felony and high on drugs, and especially fentanyl, which is an extremely deadly drug. It takes so little to kill somebody that, you know, then these officers are called there and their life then becomes a turmoil. And this happens over and over. Why did their life become a turmoil? Because of what they did or because of what George Floyd did? Ultimately, it was, but not for George Floyd doing the things that he did, nothing would have happened to him or to the officers.
No, he would more than likely survive that day. Who knows? He could have, you know what? He could have, with the level of fentanyl that he had in his system, which was a toxic, lethal level, he could have been running across the street and he could have keeled over and died. He could have gone home to bed that night and he could have died. And they can't deny that. But any way you look at it, you know, my comment is to our friends and our followers and listeners as this thing proceeds forward is that let's remove all this emotional rhetoric and this emotional involvement. Let's take a look. The case is what it is, with all its warts, with all its strengths, with all its weaknesses, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let the jury do their job and let's leave it at that.
My question still is, can the jury do their job when you have politicians out there saying for the people in their city to continue to stay on the street? They're not just staying on the street. And she tells them to be, Maxine Waters tells them to be confrontational. It's not that they're just hanging around, Ron. People are getting hurt. Businesses are being vandalized and looted. People can't get to work. People can't get through the streets. This is not just people standing around in some peaceful protest. And when you have our politicians pouring gasoline on a fire, this is not right. And our politicians need to be held accountable. And Nancy Pelosi will not hold Maxine Waters accountable, which is so insulting to everyone in this country, because they certainly tried to impeach President Trump for something far less than what Maxine Waters did. And the judge, Judge Cahill in this case, has said, hey, stop doing this and stop trying to, abrogate the rule of law here in my courtroom. And if these jurors see any part of this, they could be fearful that their house might have a pig's head or pig blood like the expert's house had.
The defense expert's house. Right. Thank God he wasn't living there anymore, but they tracked down.
He has to leave his house.
They tracked down where he lived, whoever, threw blood all over the front of his residence, cut off a pig's head and put it on his doorstep. If you don't think that that's witness intimidation, you live in a different world than I do. And this needs to stop, because if we have witnesses being intimidated, experts being intimidated, jurors being intimidated, that is the end of the jury system and the expert system in United States jurisprudence. How about our first cup of coffee?
I'm ready.
Five incredible years, and we're just getting started. Well, they say time flies when you're having fun. Well, it also flies by when you're on a mission of love. Love of country, that is. Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. You can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. AmericaOutloud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, co-host of Talking While Married. If you enjoy a good fiction detective thriller series with accurate true life investigative techniques and a contemporary Western theme, I hope that you'll try out my new series, Wade Justice, Texas Ranger. The first two books of a multi-book series are already out to great reviews, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. Join retired Texas Ranger Wade Justice as he hunts down a serial killer in Nashville in Absolute Justice and then follow him through the dark streets of Florence, Italy, as he tracks international terrorists who are plotting to kill the Italian president and murder thousands of Italians in the fast-paced and exciting sequel, Justice for All. My Way Justice series is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and on Apple, with personalized and autographed books available on our special website, wadejustice.com. That's WADEJUSTUS.com. Get your copies today.
Well, thank you for the coffee. And I want to continue this discussion a little bit because there's more consequences here, and they're purposeful consequences. When we have the media and our politicians discounting the police, defunding the police, doing all of the things that they are doing, they continue to say that the police are murdering people, and they're making this something that they want to stick in Americans' minds. That's why they repeat it so much. And when you have this, Ron, what we're seeing is a lot of police officers taking early retirement, a lot of police officers changing departments, or going into a different type of career, because they don't need to put up with this either. And we need them. We need them to be around when we need them. In fact, Maxine Waters asked for police security when she was in Minnesota. I mean, how hypocritical is that? When you are out in the street calling for, you know, a murder one on a case that doesn't even have murder one in the cards for it, and you're riling up the population, and then you want police protection. I mean, this is, police are not going to show up when we call if this continues to be the case. Why would they want to do this? So what would happen? Let's just theorize here. Okay, they go back out to this George Floyd case, and they just, you know, go, oh, well, no harm, no foul, and they leave. So, you know, the guy's passing counterfeit bills. They received a call from the store. So somebody requested their presence. There are case after case every single day. I mean, thousands upon thousands of police calls every single day. And police need to show up, and we are disincentivizing them purposefully to not do their job, because when they do their job, we are prosecuting them for doing their job.
Well, there's so many things that have happened in the United States recently with regards to this whole fake issue of reimagining law enforcement, reimagining the criminal justice system. And so what we're seeing, not only in very uber liberal communities like you would see in California, New York, you know, places like this, but even in a couple of our largest cities, right here in Texas, which is a red state, turning purple. And what we're seeing in, like, in Dallas County and in Houston, but especially in Dallas County, you're getting new prosecutors, new district attorneys coming into office, some of which are George Soros funded, you know, campaign funded attorneys. And what they are doing, like they did this past year in Dallas County, is that the prosecutor said, I will no longer prosecute thefts under $900. I will no longer prosecute thefts under $900. So literally, you could go into Walmart, you could grab a big screen TV that costs $875, and you could literally walk out the door and you would not be prosecuted for that. And so, you know, the question is, even if the police are called to something like that, and I'm an officer, what am I going to do, right? How am I going to deal with that? So you've got the stressor that you want to help the community, right? You don't want people stealing things, okay? But yet you know that if you take that guy into custody, the district attorney on its face for a theft of that nature is not going to prosecute. So what do I do? Okay, so I'm forced to go up to this guy and say, sir, could you please give back the TV? Okay, and if he doesn't give back the TV, now where are we? Because now you are detaining somebody, even though you're saying, please give back the TV, if he says, you know, screw you, I'm not going to give you back the TV. Is that a obstruction, delaying, resisting arrest, delaying or resisting a lawful order by a police officer? Maybe. But then if it's predicated upon, if the resistance is predicated on the fact that you already know the DA is not going to prosecute, then you know the DA is not going to prosecute the resistance to the order, the failure to comply with the order. So you know what they're going to do? You know, let them go.
And what does that do to store owners everywhere? So they've made all these laws, like you said, that they are not going to prosecute even car thefts, even, I mean, just a lot of things they're not going to prosecute.
Because they've looked at car thefts, which have always been felony in every state in the United States. And now they're looking at them as, here's the new term, insurance crimes. It's a crime against property. It's a crime against the insurance company.
Well, if it's your car, it feels pretty personal to you.
Yeah, but you can get a new one, Linda.
Yeah, well.
You get insurance, you get a new one.
And you want these crimes to be prosecuted, because what has happened since they're not prosecuting them? That those crimes have gone up dramatically. Why? Because people know they can get away with it. They laugh at the officers. I saw rioters in locations saying on video, saying, hey, you know, they can't do nothing about it.
Well, that's exactly right. And let's just talk specifics about where that is happening. So in Portland, Oregon, and I used to defend the police in Portland, Oregon, until Mayor Ted Wheeler came in there and I said, I'm out of here, because he's a pro-Antifa guy. But anyway, they elected a George Soros-funded, campaign-funded district attorney. He has prosecuted almost nobody of the thousands of violent protesters that have been arrested, including those people who have injured police officers. Now, let me throw some, as you say, Linda, fuel onto the fire. Let's go back to my TV coming out of Walmart and the office. Let's go back to that scenario. Even if the officer, and this is happening in New York, it's going to happen in California, it's going to happen in all these liberal states, they are getting rid of what's referred to as qualified immunity. Okay, so what this means, and that's a protection, that's an insurance policy that an officer has, with the caveat, and qualified is a caveat. It's not blanket immunity, no matter what the officer does. It's qualified immunity. It's conditional immunity. It's dependent upon what? The officer acting in an objectively reasonable manner. If the officer makes contact, detains somebody, makes an arrest, uses force, whatever, all the way up to deadly force, as long as it's seen objectively that he was acting constitutionally and as a reasonably trained officer, he is immune from prosecution and he is immune from civil litigation. They have removed that. So now, even if the officer was acting in an objectively reasonable manner, he can still be prosecuted. He can still be sued as an individual, lose everything that he's worked for, his home, his cars, whatever he and his wife owns, out the window. Who is, like you say, Linda, who is going to want to do this job? Who is going to want to come to work and do any kind of police work?
And that is exactly their plan, Ron. So they cause chaos, they defund the police, they have people believe that the police are bad guys. Nobody wants to do the job. They shouldn't want to do the job if they don't have qualified immunity. There's way too much risk for them to do that job, especially for what an officer makes. And the personal risks that they take every single day.
And the psychological toll, not only to the officer, but every member of his family. And don't forget that police officers, and you and I were both on the job, police officers have one of the highest divorce rates in the country. It's something around 80 to 85% divorce rate, which is incredible.
So I want to walk people listening down this road. So all the things that we've just said happen and are happening, and People can, they can now take your property out of your business. They can take your property out of your car, out of your home. They can take your whole car. They can commit many, many crimes against each one of us that is not going to be prosecuted. And then they're free to do it to somebody else, and they do. And in the meantime, they're letting felons out of jail. And we've got this huge immigration issue of felons coming up over the border. Not everybody's a felon, but there certainly are felons in there. There are children already, children being raped by some of these people coming over the border.
Right here in Texas.
So now let's take this to its next logical step. Police are not going to show up for certain crimes. People are going to get more frustrated. People are either going to take the law into their hands or they're going to throw their hands up and give up. And police in this country will no longer be a force to be reckoned with and criminals to be afraid of. They're just going to be, I don't know what, the social workers. Anyway, what will happen then is people will have no confidence in their police, because not because the police are bad, but because of what our politicians have done to the police. And then the Marxist people in our government will bring in a federal policing system, and then we are all in trouble. And that is the goal. And if you cannot see that far ahead of you, you need to start thinking about it, because there is a method to this madness that they're creating here. It is not being created because police are bad guys, because you don't take something that's 98%, you know, positive and that stops criminals and disband it over a couple of incidents a year. You don't do that.
Well, I'm so glad that you brought up all of this stuff, because you hit the nail right on the head. So going back to, you know, Black Lives Matter, and, you know, I wrote all about this in my popular book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. The Black Lives Matter strategy, which is, these are avowed Marxists. I mean, there's no Dr. Ron's giving a false narrative. No, the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement are all avowed Marxists. They're very proud of it. They brag of it. They have the 4D program: disenfranchise, distance, defund, and dissolve law enforcement. So when you see AOC, when you get Patrice Cullors, Alicia Garza, Opal Tamati, the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, AOC, Rashida Tlaib, saying we need to abolish law enforcement and abolish, not only defund, we need to abolish law enforcement, we need to abolish incarceration, and we have the chaos, and you get another Marxist like Maxine Waters going over to these places, and as you say, Linda, throwing fuel on the fire, spouting false narratives, jacking people up, and saying,
responsible,
and saying, we need to confront this. We need to confront. And then you and I, which came up in the Rodney King era, all right, so let's just remind people with Rodney King, when those officers, and by the way, that was my first Department of Justice case, was Rodney King, and I was on the DOJ side in prosecuting those officers, but the state had the first one. They were prosecuted by the state of California in the city of Los Angeles. It was LAPD. And what happened is, when they got an acquittal by a jury of their peers, that's when we had the riots. Okay, that's when we had the riots. $3.3 billion worth of burned out, mostly owned Black buildings and some Korean. They weren't like white buildings. They weren't white businesses.
My dad's building was in the middle of that.
But what I'm saying is, if you remember in those communities, and Linda, you worked a couple of those communities, all right, you know that it's primarily minority owned businesses. Okay, but anyway, $3.3 billion worth of damage and 58 people killed in those riots. Okay, killed in those riots over the Rodney King incident. So when you get people like Maxine Waters stirring the pot and everything, we're into to deep trouble here. And as you said, I do believe, just like you do, and we're going to talk about this Capitol, the thing, the January 6th in a minute. I want to bring that up. But what they are trying to do is have so much chaos and create an abolishment of municipal law enforcement, state and municipal law enforcement, that they are going to be able to bring in a federal police force that'll do whatever the Marxist neo-national socialists, progressive left, ask them to do. And that's what you have in all of your totalitarian regimes. You've got that in China. You've got that in Russia. You've got that in Cuba. You've got that in Venezuela. That's what they want for the United States. And God help us if they get it.
Well, they're working towards it. And people have got to support their police and understand what is going on here. For our politicians to do the things that they're doing and say the things that they're saying. And I do want to talk about the Capitol, because the things that they said about the Capitol were completely incorrect. And they said it over and over and over. And what Rashida Tlaib had said, and what Ilhan Omar had said, and what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Maxine Waters have said, just lights a flame. And this is not right for our politicians to do to the people of America. People I've talked to, Ron, are so sick to death of hearing the news that they're just completely tuning out. And that is what they want. Let us do what we want to do. Let us control the narrative. And that's what they want.
You know, if you and I were not engaged with America,
we're married.
If we weren't engaged with America Out Loud and our Talking While Married show and your Ladies of Liberty show, and we weren't engaged with our own local community, we wouldn't even watch the news. That's just how bad it's become. But I agree with you. You know, we do that and then we give in to them, because that's what they want us to do. And when you get the CNN and the MSNBCs and the Al Sharpton, who's a contributing news person, oh my God, on MSNBC, people like that. When you get the rich political media elite, celebrity elite, spewing the false narratives and taking over social media and taking over our national news media, we are in serious trouble. Please remember your European history to our friends and our followers and listeners. Remember your European history. Remember what happened under fascism, under Benito Mussolini, and especially under Adolf Hitler, under the Nazi regime, and Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister. There are such important similarities between what is happening in the United States and what happened in the 1920s through the 1940s with totalitarian governments, and then going past that to Russia, to North Korea, to China, you know, Venezuela, to Iran. Look at what's happened in those regimes, and look at ultimately what has happened with policing, and look at what has happened, how the people have been permanently oppressed.
Yep. And is this what people voted for?
And I don't think it is, but I think that a lot of people have their heads in the sand, and they think about America of old, and they think in terms of what's going to happen tomorrow is like America of old. No, America is changing radically, and we must engage politically and stop this from happening, or we will become a totalitarian regime. How about our last cup of coffee?
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Well, here's your last cup of coffee. And what I wanted to discuss with you, because you brought up the Capitol and everything, is I wanted to talk about now what we know about the tragic death of Capitol Police Officer Brian Sisnick on January 6th of this year, okay, during the Capitol protests. Now, if you remember, the false narrative that was given out there by the media and the progressive left was that Officer Sisnick was, quote, murdered,
yes,
close quotes, by a couple of protesters, okay? But there were a couple of different stories associated with that. And of course, both of them were wrong. But the progressive left and the politicians had to keep changing the narrative so that they could keep that emotional rhetoric out there, keep people emotionally engaged rather than forensically engaged with this officer's death. And being a medical investigator, and I look at hundreds of autopsies. We've got our own medical staff at Martinelli & Associates. I want to talk about what the real cause of death was, because it was just released.
Well, I definitely want to talk about that, but I want to remind people that in the impeachment hearing against President Trump, over and over and over, they said that this officer was murdered there. And they said that, actually, they said that five people's deaths were caused by this. And actually, one person's death was caused by this. And it was a person shot by a Capitol Police officer.
An unarmed woman shot by a Capitol Police officer.
Yes.
Can we circle back to that in a second? Because
yes,
that's an interesting... What's her name? Pataki? What's her name?
Saki.
All right. That's the president's spokeshole. So let's just talk about what the false narrative was. Okay, so Officer Brian Sisnick tragically died. There is no doubt that his death was a tragedy. It was unforeseen. Okay, it was an unforeseen tragedy at that moment, but he definitely was not murdered. The first red flag, as a medical investigator, right, death investigator, the first red flag that I saw was once we were 2-3 weeks past this death, there was no release of cause and manner of death, all right? And you know that's what we do for a living at Martinelli, right? We look at deaths with our medical, our pathologists, our toxicologists. And believe me, in a high-profile case like that, you are going to know cause and manner of death, because we are absolutely getting into that body. We are doing the toxicologies. We are looking in the brain. We are taking biopsies of the brain. We are looking at the cardiorespiratory system, the cardiovascular system. We're looking all through the brain. We're going over the medical history of the individual, even before the Capitol protest. We're looking at here's the question. Why did this person die? So, number one, they said he was hit over the head by a fire extinguisher. Remember that? Because, by the way, how are you not going to be able to forensically analyze cause and manner of death here? You had hundreds, if not thousands, of cell phones, of CCTV. Every square inch of the Capitol is under video surveillance. I mean, you had you had drones, you had all sorts of stuff. Absolutely impossible not to determine what's going on in this confrontation. So officer hit over the head with a fire extinguisher, right? Story number one. What am I looking at in the pathology? I'm looking for evidence of trauma on the body.
And there was none.
Okay. Consistent with getting hit with a bludgeon. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Zero.
Yes.
Zero. Next thing I'm looking at was in the current story until this new pathology results screwed it up, is that he was hit in the face with bear spray, okay, with the two protesters that have been arrested for murdering the police officer with bear spray. Bear spray is what we call OC, or pepper spray, oleoresin capsicum, all right? And I will tell you, and I'll be a little cynical about this, because I've had a lot of these so-called pepper spray deaths. Not a single one of them were valid. More people have died in the back of Ted Kennedy's car than have ever been killed by pepper spray. And as a matter of fact, the police issued pepper spray, the civilian issued pepper spray that contains the active ingredient, oleoresin capsicum. That's why we call it OC, habanero peppers, cayenne peppers, oils, particulates, stuff like that. I literally wrote the book on this. The level of OC in that canister is going to be less than you're going to get in a hot salsa at any Mexican restaurant. And you don't see a lot of people keeling over and dying in Mexican restaurants. There is no such thing as an OC death.
And his mother said that he had some pre-existing conditions. She came out and said that pretty quickly after the incident. And she said that he wasn't murdered. Yet, Ron, they kept that story going and going and going. They needed to have the story through the impeachment. They needed to have the story so that America was outraged and so that they could build their wall around the Capitol. And they used Brian Cicinic's death to accomplish their own desires, you know, Nancy Pelosi in Congress. This is absolutely wrong. They knew how Brian Cicinic died long ago. They knew the answer to the question, and they knew that he wasn't murdered.
Well, let me go in just really quick, and I'll going to use some medical terms now, but I'm going to explain it just very quickly. So I think everybody's wondering right now, because we're talking about it. So really, what was the cause of death of Officer Brian Cicinic? Well, the cause of death was acute brainstem and cerebral infarcts due to acute, listen to this, bacillar arterial thrombosis. No allergic reaction to OC pepper spray. No allergic reaction. Okay, so, I mean, what the heck? That's a lot of medical stuff, right? So, I mean, really, let me tell you what it comes from. 70% of people in the United States that die from exactly that, they die because of hypertension. What does that mean? High blood pressure. And we also look for diabetes. We look for comorbidities, right? So like diabetes and especially coronary artery disease. So the first thing that I look at in in-custody death, I go into the autopsy and the pathology and I look for the heart. I go into the cardiovascular system. I look in the heart and I want to know how big the heart is. And what that tells me, if the heart is enlarged, it's called cardiomegaly. What does it mean? It means that this person has got a pre-existing heart problem. And so he had a pre-existing heart problem. Dumbing it down. What did he die from? Pre-existing heart problem. Number two, hypertension. And he was in a hypertensive state during that day. And that's what happened to him.
But he had had, I believe he'd had many strokes before.
He could have died at home.
Yeah, he would have died. Yes. So his death was due to natural causes, and there's no relation to what happened on Capitol Hill. So that is what the end result is, and the lies that have been told for all these months so that people, again, to gin up the American public against, in this case, President Trump and conservatives. President Trump, again, didn't say anything for people to riot or confront or anything like that. He told them to come and be peaceful. And yet, Maxine Waters does the opposite, and she is not even censured. Nothing happens to her. This is just such hypocrisy in our government. And these people who are like parents to we the children,
dysfunctional parents,
their example is what keeps America on edge. These idiots in our government need to do what's right for the people, not just for themselves, but they are after an agenda, Ron. They're after an agenda, and they are just going to continue to mislead us and lie to us to get whatever it is that their agenda demands.
You're 100% right. Here's what they wanted to do. They wanted to put a wall around that Capitol building, right? They wanted, and they got that wall. They wanted thousands of troops. They got those thousands of troops to protect them while they passed all of this legislation and while Joe Biden put together during that time about 30, and he's over 40 now, executive orders, but he put 30 executive orders through, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everything that was killing and is killing the United States, all right? And then those walls are still up. They passed this huge infrastructure debacle, okay, trillions of dollars and all the crap that goes with it, raising our taxes. They're looking at getting rid of the Second Amendment. I guarantee you, when Joe Biden says that no bill in the Bill of Rights, no amendment in the Bill of Rights is absolute, we are in big trouble. They're going to stack this court, and they're going to.
And he just came out and said that he wants Washington, D.C. to be a state because they need that one extra seat.
And they want Puerto Rico too. Senate. And they'll get a couple of more seats in Puerto Rico. But this is all by design. And the thing, going back to law enforcement, the thing that bothers me so much about the death of poor hapless officer, Capitol Police officer Brian Sisnick, is that this man was doing his job. He died in the course of his duties, and they took this tragedy and exploited this officer's death when all along they knew that he died of natural causes and was never murdered by anybody. And these two people are still in custody. They're still in custody. And by the way, I don't excuse a damn thing that these people did. You go to the Capitol, you get involved in a protest, you have a weapon, you're violent, you use that weapon on police officers or anybody else, you need to go to jail. And as a matter of fact, you probably need to go to prison, because we can't have that happening in the United States of America. But Linda, like you said, to take that with the violent, false narrative, reckless rhetoric of these progressive lefts like Waters and the squad, and to infer that President Trump had anything to do with that, and some of these rhino Republicans too, you know, that you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. When Maxine Waters comes out with this violent confrontational rhetoric and y'all say nothing and Biden says nothing, then y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
But then, Ron, if you're going to say that the people at the Capitol should be arrested, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, then what about the people in Portland and Seattle that are closing up buildings and trying to burn people alive inside those buildings, officers and ICE? What about all of the damage? What about all of the injuries? What about all of the vandalism and the looting? What about all of that in the other cities, and people are not being prosecuted? Why is there this double standard for the Capitol, which was not looted, which was not, you know, was not a big violent riot? It was kind of crazy, I'll admit, but it's nothing like Portland and Seattle and some, and Minnesota, and yet people are not being prosecuted there.
Well, you and I, it's one of these marital things. We're going to disagree on this thing in the Capitol. There was violence there. Okay. It was people being violent against police officers. I don't have a problem with protesting. I would have liked to have been at that rally and protested very peacefully as a demonstration of what democracy and our First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly is all about. But that's where I draw the line. When you become violent, you start walking on the Capitol, you step foot on the Capitol grounds, and you are violent against officers that are telling you to cease and desist.
My point is, you have those people in jail. You have those people being prosecuted, but you do not have the people in Minnesota, Seattle, Portland, everywhere else being
prosecuted. And you have a wonderful point. You know what? Let's transition over. Speaking of riots and things like that, let's transition over to what just happened in the state of Florida with the wonderful Governor Ron DeSantis and his legislature just passing and signing into law an anti-riot bill. Because Florida is a beautiful state. We've been there several times. I wouldn't want to live there because of the humidity. And they got gators there. And I'm scared of gators. Okay. So, but they did a wonderful job protecting the citizens, the business owners, and especially the police. So you put your hands on a police officer during a riot, unlawful assembly is called, you're going to go to jail. Okay. There's just not going to be no two ways about it. And other states, and of course, Texas has got that, right? And because we have a wonderful governor in Greg Abbott, in our amazing Attorney General, Ken Paxton. So, and we got a great legislature here in Texas. So we have that similar law. But the laws that are coming in, listen to the states, Linda, that are looking at this law like Florida passed and signed. Oregon, Arizona, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Indiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Those are all states that are looking at adopting similar types of legislation. And look at how many of those states, here's the answer, 100% of them, have had riots and damage and destruction and burning and looting and assaults on their police officers, every single one of those states. And they are starting to move in that direction.
And it's going to be the states that end up saving us, if anybody will, because Joe Biden is trying to take this country down as fast as he can.
Well, we found ourselves in such a state of affairs right now. And I think we just have to pray. We have to hope. We have to pray. We have to have faith in Americans, real Americans, patriotic Americans in the United States, that we can get this thing turned around, especially in the 2022 elections. Linda, why don't you tell people how they can get engaged with Talking While Married and America Out Loud?
Well, before I do that, I just want to let people know that right now, there are special elections happening around the country. And say in Virginia, where there is a Republican running for the governor, in Texas, where there are a couple of seats open, there's some school board things. These are times when you still need to get out and vote, because this is how we keep our America. And, you know, I don't care who you voted for. I do care, really, but I don't care who you voted for in the last election. You need to see what's happening now and think about who you're voting for. And if you want to continue down this road to Marxism, or you want to keep our American way of life, there are voting situations coming up very soon. So take advantage and get out there and speak your mind. In the meantime, continue to watch and listen on AmericaOutLoud.com, because the writers and the shows will give you the truth about what's going on in America without all of the media hype and the bias and the comments about racism and all of these things that we hear. America Out Loud is the place to be right now. And if you happen to miss a show, you can catch any of the shows on any of your favorite podcast listening devices. All the shows go to podcasts. You can listen on Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google, Apple, any of those. So, you know, make yourself at home at America Out Loud. Listen to the shows and read the articles. They are phenomenal.
And we'll see you on the radio.